it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Do the Browns smell blood in the water in the AFC?
And who are the top college football coaches, and why isn't Ryan Day one of them?
It's all coming up on the Emerging Podcast Scene, presented by Extend Technologies on 92.3 The Fan Extra on the free Odyssey app.
The first 4 hours were simply an amuse-bouche.
I'm stuffed. I can't remember the last time I ate this much.
Sure he's the one not dessert?
Not for me.
How good.
Your table is now ready for Carmen and Lima's Emerging Podcast Scene.
Are we on, Mitch? Lima?
Oh, we're so ready to talk sports today on this podcast.
Good.
I can't wait.
We're brought to you by Extend Technologies, XTENDAV.com. How'd you like Sean? It was in studio. He won the auction for the Kevin Stefanski Keepers Foundation.
So, first of all, the stones on Sean to get on the mic.
That was unbelievable.
And ask the
that
head
was
coach
great.
Of the Cleveland Browns if he's going to give up play calling.
That was great.
I thought that was
awesome.
Because you know, I'm glad you did this. Ken's like, we did not put him up to this. You know for a fact there were people that thought that we were like, ask that question. And it is the question
that
everybody wants to know, right?
Hold on.
Wouldn't it have been something? Can you imagine if that's the way he broke the story? We would
have
had to put Sean's name on the show.
Boy, that would have been something, man. If they would have done it, that would have been something.
Cleveland radio history.
Sorry, I was getting texts. Kayla was asking about the pictures for Sean. I had her email Keith. Sorry about that. I was a little bit distracted. I want to make sure we took care of that as soon as we could. But big thanks to Sean. He was awesome. I hope that he enjoyed his experience with us today. That was a lot of fun. It was nice. You know, we've never had one of those situations go badly, but we're always afraid because I'm like, well, you know, it's not like the movies or anything like that. Like, you sit there and here we
well,
are.
Think about
we're talking the sports.
Anybody's job, because this is obviously a very weird one, but
yeah.
Anybody's job, imagine if you had somebody staring at you for 4 hours or for the workday, right? I don't know why anybody would want to. Like, if you're over, you know, working at an insurance mm-hmm. company, I don't know who'd really want to do that and sign up for that. What's cool is that, you know, this led to money being raised for a really good cause. And he was a good sport. And he's a listener of the show. And it's awesome because sometimes I make the mistake of thinking our listeners are callers. Well, our callers, it's nice that we get callers. But that is we always stress, a very, very vocal minority of our listeners.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we love our callers. We love Jim from Medina, Eddie in Westlake. Right when the Bostonian used to call, as much as we'd razz him, he was a good little act, right? But our listeners are like Sean, never call us, have opinions on sports like crazy, but they're just going to listen. They're not going to be a part of the show. We told Sean, be a part of the show
mm-hmm.
going forward. But it was really cool to get a chance to meet one of our just normal listeners.
It was a very nice thing to do. It was a very nice thing for him to come in and do what he did. It was a very nice thing to see him, and hope to run into him again. Yeah. We actually are in the same town, so I hope to run into him again. I asked you before the podcast started, right at the end of our everyday show. Do the Browns smell blood in the water? Now it's a little bit tongue in cheek, but you said you were a little jealous of an enemy of ours, but a frenemy of ours in Pittsburgh.
Yes.
Tell us what he did.
Oh, this was great. So, Filippone, who is so funny. Sean,
a mess.
Sean was like, do you really get along with that Filippone?
He didn't want me to say yes. He did not want me to say yes. I'm like, yes,
funny?
I had to get along with Filippone, yes.
And then it was great that he was ripping other radio show
yes,
guys
he was. Stuff. That was great.
Anyway, so the Patrick Mahomes story was out. I asked Kevin Stefanski about it, bringing a television to training camp. And so Filippone's tweet was, this is great news for the Steelers and the rest of the NFL. Mahomes losing his edge, breaking camp routine, playing video games till 2 a.m., eating Cheetos and watching the Olympics, first crack in the wall, all dynasties fall. And I was jealous because I was like,
that's a great tweet.
That was a great troll tweet.
That is a great one.
It is terrific. But it is interesting, right?
Like,
obviously, nobody cares if Patrick Mahomes has a TV. But you do wonder when the difference between guys like Tom Brady and the rest of athletes who have gotten a championship here or an MVP or accolades here. You never truly know how guys are going to react to that. Once you've gotten to the top of the mountain, what do you do then? And for a lot of athletes, it's, hey, get my money. I've won. I got to get my money if they haven't gotten their money yet. But when you've gotten your money and you've won, it is always fascinating to see who takes it to another level.
Well,
who, like Kobe Bryant. Kobe Bryant was a guy, he won those championships with Shaq, and then he was determined to not win to win a championship without Shaq. That's what mattered to him, to a crazy, crazy level. Michael Jordan, the exploits, the stories of him and his competitive edge and how it was on a different level, so much so that SNL spoofed him taking even a silly game to the next level, that they would play with the trainer, right, or whatever that guy, the security guy. Certain guys have that edge, right? But maybe it's not fair to question because we don't really know what's in these in the minds of some of these guys or their work ethic. But we've definitely noticed guys who've won titles and, all right.
Oh, yeah.
I got paid. I won my title. Yeah.
No, they won their title. Now they want to get paid.
Yeah, now they want to get paid. And
yes.
But Tom Brady wasn't like that. Tom Brady won, then went a pretty substantial amount of time. Did he go a decade between winning? And he had to win again.
I mean, they went, but they lost twice.
And then he's like, you know what? I want to win one on another team just to show my greatness.
Yeah.
I know there was other stuff that went into it.
It's
So Patrick Mahomes, he so far has been the best since really the day he started. He was like the best quarterback in the NFL. And they've stripped away pieces and parts. Tyreek Hill, player here or there, gone. Receivers, gone. Other guys suspended. Another Super Bowl. Like, that's how amazing he's been. So he strikes me as someone who's going to continue to win. But you never know.
I think it's what gives you the edge. I think you find what gives you the edge. And the great ones do that. Football's unique because really only a quarterback and a head coach can have that experience where they are constantly finding an edge. Montana, Brady, Mahomes, and really that's only, you could throw Aikman in there because he did win three Super Bowls. Bradshaw, you have to because he won four Super Bowls, fine. Like, there's the edge that you constantly have to find. But especially in this generation, when you look at Brady and Mahomes especially, it's such a obviously it's a quarterback-driven league, it's a quarterback-driven game. And you go back, this is why it is actually a big deal. You have to find ways to make sure that you do not get complacent. There's challenges to yourself. And is there a way where, is there something that might be said at the end of the season? If things were to like not go well for the, whatever that means for the Chiefs, I don't think it's just blamed on, well, you brought your TV finally. But that's something that if Mahomes loses, say they finally do, say, I don't think the Bills have the firepower, but say they go out and they lose to Josh Allen in the postseason. Say they get beat in the divisional round. That is something Patrick Mahomes, I guarantee you, will go, I lost my edge. I need to get my edge back. I need to sharpen myself. He didn't lose his edge. In his head, he did.
That's how those it's guys a challenge. Are built, right?
You know, with Jordan won the first three. He stepped away. Then it was the chase of getting it back. He never had to lose it. He never had to lose. He stepped away for baseball and other things, allegedly, and he came back and then won the final three. And then what did he want to do after that? He still wanted to come back and see if he could do it with the Washington Wizards. And I don't think it was winning was the edge. It was, can I still average 20 points a game? Which he did at 40 years old. Like that, like they're finding, it's an addiction to competition that they're finding their edge. And damn it, some will self-sabotage in certain ways to continue to find a way to find a new way to challenge themselves to go up that hill and to finish that battle.
And you know, like, you can apply it to other things. You know, Urban Meyer going to the NFL and getting paid, what was it, like 20-some million dollars? He had already made hundreds of millions of dollars, whatever. It was like, is he going to grind the same way? And then we find out, hey, you know what? He wasn't the Urban Meyer from 15 years ago who was sleeping in the office and 24-7. Like, he wasn't the same guy. In other walks of life, Dave Chappelle has made $500, $600, $700 million. I don't know how much he has made throughout his career. Do you think his stand-up comedy is going to be as good going forward? I would argue there's pretty good evidence that, yeah, he's not. Is he grinding it out?
No.
The same way?
No.
I mean, Yeah, you know, when Phil Jackson went and ran the New York Knicks, it was like, is 70
well, that was a mess.
Plus year old Phil Jackson going to be scouting guys
no.
in Europe and no. in high schools or college? You know what I mean? Is he going
to
do that?
Oh, Mike Holmgren coming to Cleveland.
Oh,
was he going to do what needed
great
to be done?
Great example.
Yeah. But that's, I'm big on philosophy. You know, there's a lot of things that go into, like, I listen to a lot of Robert Mays, and there's a lot of talk about DVOA and advanced metrics and things of that nature. Because they were even talking recently, the best thing about DVOA, DVOA doesn't watch the games. So you can argue against DVOA if you really want to. Because it's supposed to be the very mm-hmm. rawest of undeniable stats. But at the same time, DVOA doesn't watch games. So you don't necessarily, that's what leaves the questionable part to football out of it.
Yep.
I'm big on philosophy. I'm fascinated with football coaches. I'm fascinated with their process and their addiction to the process and the actual need to lose. And so when I say that there's blood in the water, it's very easy for a Browns fan or for a Browns player that has made it to the playoffs and lost and has never seen them have very much success to have that hunger, but it's very easy for a player to lose it, for a player that has had success to not stay on the mountaintop. Well, for a football player of a different position, they, like you said, we've won, now I want to make my money because I understand that this is a business and they will chew me up and spit me out. I'm leaving no favors. I'm doing nobody anything as far as favors are concerned. I'm going to get mine. See Chris Jones. For a guy like Mahomes goes through, if his career goes right, he's going to go through three Chris Joneses. Or three guys, there's going to be Chris Jones, and then there's going to be two other guys defensively that you would hope want to get paid. You're going to go through that. And so you need to find your edge. Naturally, the next Chris Jones will find his edge, and the Chris Jones after that Chris Jones will find his edge naturally. You have to continue to find yours. And I go back to Saban, and I got to find the year if I'm going to make this argument. Saban's at LSU, and I want to say it's year one. He's at LSU. And they go down to Kentucky, and they win on a Hail Mary. And Saban I've seen this like twice. He sits with Miss Terry, and he's telling the story about he did not feel everybody is losing their effing minds. They're on the road. They weren't like, yeah, they're LSU. But they're getting beat this entire game. Then they win the game on a Hail Mary, and he's not happy because he knows that this win that was given to them by a Hail Mary is going to be a problem for the future because they haven't become addicted to the process yet. They don't know what it's like to have something taken away from them. They don't know the embarrassment. They go out in the next week, and I think they might have been playing Alabama or Tennessee, I'm not sure, and they get throttled, like 31-7, not even a competitive game. He goes, if we lose that game against Kentucky, we win the next game.
Would have been different, right?
We win the next game. And then they learn the process. You get addicted to the process. That's why, like for Saban, when they lose national championships, he's not that upset. He's upset, but it's not where it's that upset because he knows that the guys will have the hunger again. His players will have the hunger again. He will push himself harder. His staff will push themselves harder instead of him just yelling at everybody, and then it turns the thing against him. You know, losing can be, nobody wants to lose. It should never be your object to lose. But losing can be great medicine for a program, for an organization. And you see that with Brady, where they went 10 years. Nothing could motivate him more yeah. than getting back to the mountaintop. And for Mahomes, again, I can see a scenario. You can't win them all. And damn it, I can see a scenario where in like 2 years, he goes, like, say they win a Super Bowl next year. Not this year. They win the Super Bowl next year. Something like that. And I'm telling you, man, I wouldn't be shocked at all if he goes, I brought a TV. We decided to play college football 25. Thought everything was going fine.
Cost us a season.
And I saw guys getting a little too loose. And yep. we set a bad tone for the season. We set a yeah. bad tone. And then, you know, Travis retired at the end of the year. You know, we lost Chris. I don't know what Chris Jones's contract is. You know, we lost so-and-so at the end of the year. We became complacent instead of going for history.
I'm
making that up off the top of my head. He very well could not. They could win the Super Bowl this year, but that's a scenario where I could see playing out.
I can give you the number one example that I will always remember is the 2015 Ohio State team. They were loaded.
Yep.
Remember, they were absolutely loaded. I'm just, by the way, I'm looking at the roster. I just pulled it up. Cardale Jones, JT Barrett, Joe Burrow. Ezekiel Elliott, Curtis Samuel. I remember Dontre Wilson, too. I thought he was a stud. They brought back, remember, they had Braxton Miller, Michael Thomas on that team. Paris Campbell, Terry McLaurin, KJ Hill.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the names, this team, and I'm not even going over the defense. I mean, that's just, those are just
they were loaded.
Players.
They were
absolutely loaded. Remember, they had won the national championship the year before. They beat Alabama. They beat Oregon. They were awesome, that team. And Urban paper, Meyer.
Yeah, and on paper, they were better than what they were. They were better. And they didn't get it done. And I think part of that is that people, the disease of me, you can't help it. There's not enough money to go around, and there's too many players. There's just too many. You can't help it. It's before NIL, which probably makes it even harder. You cannot help it. You look around you, you see people wearing your jerseys, you see people making money off of you, you're not making any money off of that. You can't help but to feel that way. I don't care, you're only human. You can say what you want to about that Ohio State football team. I'm telling you right now, it's a totally, I think it's a natural thing for that to happen. Real quick, what are your, not real quick, Paul Feinbaum had that tweet about Nick Saban and Kirby Smart. I found it fascinating. I don't think it was fully the end of what Paul Feinbaum would have said. I think Paul Feinbaum would have said this himself, that 48-year-old Kirby Smart is not, quote unquote, better than 48-year-old Nick Saban had there been no Nick Saban. Okay? He might be now there might be Kirby Smart might forge that path, and then 48-year-old Mason Lima would be better than at 48 years old than 48-year-old Kirby Smart, using that. Somebody has to forge your path for you. I think, actually, he's probably, no, 48 years old is way older than what Nick Saban is, older than Kirby Smart, because Kirby Smart's 48, but Nick Saban's 72. That's a pretty big difference.
Mm-hmm.
I do think, though, that the conversation about Kirby Smart being the best coach in college football, it just kind of dawned on me this morning that he is. We're brought to you by Extend. It just dawned on me. Like, oh my God, yeah, Kirby Smart is the best coach in college football. Where does Ryan Day, we can't play the music, Owen's not here, he's in Fargo at a wrestling tournament, which is awesome. By the way, my buddy's son plays 7th nationally.
Okay.
High school at that tournament. It's been going on for a while, and they're flying in for their part of the tournament coming in today, I think, up there in Fargo, North Dakota. So good luck to Owen and his family. Well, Owen's not wrestling, but his son who's wrestling. Owen, good luck to the son and to the family, I should say. So where does Ryan Day on your power rankings of let's do P5 college coaches?
Yeah, I pulled up.
Where does Ryan Day, what are you smiling at me for, Mitch?
I have a list here from ESPN that actually ranked the top 10 coaches going into the 2024 season.
All right.
And it agrees with you that Kirby Smart is number one.
I have Fornelli's list. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I have number two coach on the list is a guy that hasn't even coached a game for his team yet. Kalen DeBoer from Alabama.
He's number two?
Number two.
That's a spicy thing to write.
Yeah, I think that's a little high.
Hold on. He took over Washington and Jimmy Lake. That was a Jimmy or Jeremy. Either way, the guy was fired. I think it was Jeremy Lake. I'm not sure. That thing was a mess. That thing was a mess, Tone. He got that thing. You know what? That guy took a doorstep dead after Chris Peterson, a dead Washington team, got them into the national championship game, and then got a job at Alabama. I can agree with that take. Who wrote that article? Do you know the author?
It's multiple writers. This is from Kyle Bonagura, who kind of touted his success at Washington. Also, the NAIA Sioux Falls. He said, all DeBoer does is win. Now he takes over the legendary Nick Saban.
Did he win like two or three national championships there?
Three titles over a five-year stretch. Jeez. He said he takes over for Nick Saban, who set an unrealistic bar for what can be accomplished.
I love this. Go ahead, Tone. What do you got?
I'm looking at, he was 9-3 that last year at Fresno State before going 25-3 the last 2 years.
Do you guys want to know where Ryan Day is ranked?
Yes.
Number 10. Of 10.
All right.
Okay. Let's go down this list.
Well,
here.
I mean, what, Kenny, do you object to that?
No, this is half-assed. No, I don't know yet. I don't know yet. This is half-assed because we thought of this.
Like, who would you have ahead?
In the moment.
Would you have Ryan Day or Dabo Swinney ahead?
Ryan Day.
Over Dabo?
Yeah.
Really?
I think about the whole picture. Dabo is...
Is that a little unfair, though, because...
It's not.
Ryan Day was just handed one of the best programs in college football. Like, Dabo was not handed that.
But Dabo's been... Caleb DeBoer has done things in a short amount of time.
Yeah.
He's done it in a very short amount of time. How long's Dabo been at Clemson now? Over a decade, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So, when Kalen DeBoer takes over... Did I call him Caleb for a second? When Kalen DeBoer... The B's in there messed me up. When Kalen DeBoer takes over Washington, that's a short time ago. Lake wasn't fired just like... 10 years ago, he got that turned around in a short period of time. Well, now Dabo, he has his program.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
His program the way it is. Well, he doesn't hit the transfer portal famously, which is something you have to do at that level.
Absolutely.
He's never been known as a whiteboard guy. You know damn well that's the truth. That's what's good. I'm sure he could talk football in circles around a lot of people listening and around us, but he's not a whiteboard guy. That's the second knock against him. And I don't think that he has developed quarterbacks, or he's recruited the wrong quarterbacks, either way you want to do it, the way that it needs to be done, where you can win the ACC easily and be in the national championship picture with a good quarterback. Yes, you had Trevor Lawrence. Well, okay, what have you done for me lately? Because DJ Uiagalelei was supposed to be that. It wasn't that.
There was.
You were supposed to have other guys that were there. They weren't that. You know, Nick Saban, damn it, he's won with some guys that have been some sketchy college quarterback, some sketchy NFL prospect, non-real prospect quarterbacks.
Sure, he wasn't Nick Saban. But there was like a seven-year period where he was right there with Saban and Urban Meyer.
Yes. I'm not saying Dabo's not top 10. You asked me, where's Ryan Day opposed to Dabo? Ryan Day over Dabo.
If I gave Ryan Day tomorrow Iowa, what are we saying about Ryan Day in five years?
If I gave Dabo Iowa tomorrow, what are we saying about Dabo in 5 years? We're saying he's a two-time national champion with Clemson.
I mean, man, look
that's
what
it.
He,
We're
look,
saying that he flamed out at Iowa.
Look what he did at Clemson. I mean, I think that's evidence enough that he is an unbelievable head coach. I mean, you think Ryan Day would he even be on this list?
Guys,
any kind
we're
of
we're talking
list.
About a top 10 out of how many teams are in P or in group B4 Power 4 college football? I keep saying P5. How many coaches are in Power 4 college football? There's a boatload of coaches here, Tone.
Yeah.
This is not a slight on Dabo Swinney. Like this is crazy how little you think of Ryan Day. It is egregious to you to put Ryan Day over Dabo.
Yes. By the way, Ryan Day has done, for the most part, a really good job.
He's 55
at Ohio
and 8.
State. Right. By not screwing that up. He did not screw it up. He has kept the program, chugging along. I have no confidence in him in a big game versus the best.
This is Joe Thomas syndrome. That's what this is. Anybody who fills in for Joe, you cannot do anywhere near as good a job as Joe.
I will always hold him responsible for Michigan winning the national championship.
Nick Chubb syndrome. Anybody who fills in for Nick Chubb can't come anywhere near Nick Chubb. I mean, that's Tone. I mean, hell.
Yeah, but I thought that about Jim Tressel. I thought Jim Tressel was so incredible.
This is great.
And then Urban Meyer took it to the next level.
I wish we would have done this on the regular show. This is good deep dive stuff, though.
Kyle Whittingham. I think is. One
I
of the,
love Kyle
one of the
Whittingham.
Best.
I think Kyle Whittingham is definitely top 10, maybe top 5 for what he's done. You've been in. Oh, is this his fourth different conference or third?
Wow!
How many different conferences have Utah been in since he's been there? I think this is his 20th season, if I'm not mistaken, at Utah. Now I know he's got a coach in waiting. Did you hear him, by the way, Big 12 Media Day?
No.
He said he's day to day.
What is that? What's going on?
Which is a weird statement to say, because when you first heard Kyle Whittingham was head of coach in waiting, it's like, well, maybe at the end of the year or in a couple years.
Does he have health issues?
I don't know. He looks great. At least that's what I always felt he looked. Go ahead, Mitch. What you got?
No, I was going to say, Whittingham is third on your list there. Dabo is fourth.
I haven't put them together yet. We're making names. I haven't put
right. Mike Norvell. How about Mike Norvell?
See, yeah. I really like Mike Norvell because he got people to believe after Willie Taggart, and people did not want to believe him. They were, my buddy, he's a booster down there. I told you, I graduated high school with this guy, and he's done well. He's a booster. I mean, they hated Mike Norvell. They thought that this was a bunch of BS. They wanted big game hunting. They wanted Urban Meyer type guys. That's what they wanted. And Norvell, damn it, he's done a damn good job down there.
Didn't they want Dion at one point before Dion got to Colorado?
Well, yeah, because the success with Norvell is recent. And so there was a thought where, because remember, it was thought that Travis Hunter and he were a package deal, and they basically have been. So they wanted Travis Hunter, and then to get Travis Hunter, well, Dion played at Florida State, we'll get Dion. Yeah. And now I think if you're a Florida State fan, you're like, yeah, better the road left traveled is left traveled for a reason. I think Norvell is a top 10 coach. Would you rather have Mike Norvell or Ryan Day?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Florida State's big. They do not have the resources of Ohio State. I think it's a better question than Dabo.
What about Dan Lanning?
I don't know where to put Dan Lanning. I'm a little, what do you want to do with that guy? Because
I'm worried about the...
I'm worried about the Oregon game. Yeah, you should be. It's hard to read Oregon. It's at Oregon, right?
It's at Eugene. I think so, yeah.
Yeah, you should be. Why wouldn't you be? Damn, I don't know. Would you put him top five? Power rankings only go top three.
Isn't it crazy how the names we are talking about for top five college football coaches, it goes to show the attrition.
All right, number one,
we have seen.
Number one, Kirby Smart.
Yeah.
Who's your number two? Sark? Whittingham, DeBoer. Norvell.
I'll tell you, man.
Lanning.
I am Leipold, too. It's pretty good. Imagine him. Imagine if he had the resources. I mean, he's a Kansas.
Jesus. What would Leipold do with...
Right. That's what it's fun to think about.
I don't know, man. He's had... This is where I take a look. No. He was a Buffalo.
Buffalo.
Damn it. I can't even make that argument against him. Man, Leipold's up there. He's really good. Because I'm going, you get guys to buy in. It's hard to buy in a place like Buffalo. You got guys to buy in.
What are we doing with Lane Kiffin?
He's gotten better with age.
Hasn't he?
Oh, man. When he first started, he was an immature clown. And there's still some clown behavior in there. And there's still a little immaturity in there. But boy, by the way, Ole Miss, him and Ole Miss, is that not the perfect marriage of college football? I mean, there's been times Lane Kiffin's been a certified ass. Mm-hmm. Ole Miss has done some wild things to win football games in the past. That is a perfect marriage. I hope he never leaves.
A name.
That's Kenny Powers type stuff right there.
I've got a name that we have not said that absolutely should be considered. I would have had. You know what? I'm saying top five still. How old is he? We haven't heard the name yet. The guy I'm about to mention is 62.
Who?
And has a fake accent.
Brian Kelly.
Guys, he's been great everywhere. And he has underachieved for his standards at LSU so far. But that guy has been great. How many different stops? Now, I don't know how that guy is not. Did he not make that list? The ESPN list?
Not the top 10 list. He got the most amount of receiving votes.
How is Brian Kelly not considered one of the top 10 coaches?
For the honorable mention.
I think it's very easy. And I think I'm going to say this about you. You're waiting for the shoe to drop on Marcus Freeman, aren't you?
Kind of.
Yeah, I think you are. What about you, Mitch?
I mean, I'm not even sure, but that's what I was thinking about Kelly is the fact that he didn't win a championship at Notre Dame, got close.
He got in the national championship game.
But you're not going to win a championship at Notre Dame.
Well?
Well, that's what makes Brian Kelly so damn special as a head coach. Because, again, I told you, with that schedule, man, anything below 10-2 is like, hey, you really got the right guy?
Of course, Notre Dame's going to be in the playoff every year now.
But this is the difference here. And this is why I'm not a Marcus Freeman hater. Far from it. I like Notre Dame, and I like Marcus Freeman, But you got to be honest with yourself here. With that schedule, I have to see. You would never fire Marcus Freeman at 9-3, right? You wouldn't, right?
Well, they got rid of Ty Willingham.
Okay, you wouldn't fire. Yeah, but you go back to history and go, well, we fired Ty Willingham, and then look what happened. Well, we got Charlie Weiss. We got like one good year out of Charlie Weiss.
Yeah, they did.
And then things went straight to hell. And he looked like a Cabbage Patch doll standing out there.
Oh, that Ohio State game, I'll never forget.
That
was
awesome.
Oh, my
God in heaven. I was still an Ohio State fan then.
Oh, it was so awesome.
Yeah, I was enjoying it. I was a little bit, I love
Brady,
Rudy, man.
That was the Brady Quinton. They had talent on that Notre Dame team, but boy, could they not keep up with the horses
the worst
of Ohio
thing.
State.
Ever since you did what you did at the Notre Dame Library, every time you talk about Notre Dame, I'll never forget that. The chuckling that Lima did. The chuckling that Lima. Guys, you have no idea how private of an act that is for Lima to do. And we stayed in a hotel room together. He was shirtless, walking around in his underwear around me. It didn't matter. But that act, he went down to the lobby to use that bathroom. And damn it, he walked right next to the stall. There was the urinal, and there was a stall. Lima, you never heard this, Mitch?
I have not.
We were on our way back from Iowa State.
We're like, we got to look at Notre Dame.
It's the Sunday after. We woke up, Mitch, not kidding. We were out drinking. And we went to bed early because the game was at like 11 a.m. or something. Well, no, it's a little later in the afternoon. It's like 3:30 their time, 2:30 their time. And so we had a couple beers. We were tired. Yeah, that's right. We were drinking beforehand.
Yeah.
We had a couple beers. We were tired. Went to bed. Woke up at like 4:30, which is 5:30 our time. We're like, we're hitting the road. And we hit the road. And it is, Mitch, it is dark in the state of Iowa at 4:30 a.m.
It is not.
Like Tuscarawas County might as well be Manhattan, New York, compared to where
it
we were driving
sucked.
Through in Iowa. It was so
sucked.
Dark. We had the talk radio blaring to stay awake already. It was tough. We got through South Bend. We were making great time. We got to South Bend. We're like, we got to go see Notre Dame. And we went in there, went to the library. They knew we were not, well, because we were in our late 30s at that time. They knew we didn't belong in there. But there was weird. There were plenty of other people, and they looked like they belonged in the library. The lady stared at us from the moment we got in the library like we were going to set the place on fire. And I went to use the bathroom. I had to go to the bathroom. I had to go number one. I went to the bathroom, and Lima, I went in. I'm alone. Lima saunters in like not even a minute later, and he's chuckling as he walks in and goes to the toilet next to me and the stall next to me. And I'm not going to get very descriptive about it, but you can hear what's going on, and he's chuckling.
It was an all-timer.
Lima does this thing. When Lima knows he's... Every now and then, Lima never laughs at his own jokes. He laughed at his own joke that time because you can hear him going, ha, ha, ha.
There were other people in there.
I'm dying.
And I think I heard someone go, oh.
I am dying. Mitch, I like tears coming down my face. I was laughing so hard.
And I hate to do that.
I could not believe he was doing it.
But the fact that it was Notre Dame, their prestigious library.
He was in my mind. I couldn't see him behind me. He's strutting on his way in there. And I walked out. And I mean, my hands are like on my knees, bent over laughing.
Should have gone to that Perkins.
Yeah, we should have, but we didn't.
That'd have been a good one.
You remember that situation we saw at that gas station we were leaving?
Yes.
That was sad.
Yes.
I wonder what happened with that couple, quote unquote couple. That was rough. Anyway, sorry, we got sidetracked.
And we also had a crazy person talk to us on the way out at that famous truck stop.
Oh my God, the I-80 truck stop.
We
had a do we even want to talk about that?
Yeah, you know what? Yes, because
we had a man who
I think so different politically than this guy, but I was so scared of him that I just agreed with him.
Well, he had a gun hanging around his
agreed, and he was going into conspiracy theory talk, and he just assumed everybody in the world believed what he did, and I just sat there and I said, "Oh, I'm with you, man. Yeah, can't believe they're trying to do this."
He believed. Yeah, it got kind of so awkward and scary that Lima just went with it.
Yep. I will cave.
I mean, he did have a gun strapped to his back. And we're just trying to get gas and see the world's greatest truck stop, Iowa 80.
It was an incredible truck stop.
He's one of the guys who believes there's going to be a civil war.
Yeah. And he's ready for it.
And you better bet your ass. Lord Almighty, it was crazy.
I wouldn't try to,
it was nuts.
I wouldn't try to eavesdrop on his property. No way. You'd get lit up.
Nothing. I'm sorry. My phone's buzzing. Yeah, guys, I'm going to lay them down. I've been doing this for 13 years. We're going to lay them down. They're going to get laid down, guys. They're going to get laid. Them things going to get recorded. Sorry. All right, real quick, can you do a top three?
So you know what?
Kirby won.
Kirby's got to be number one.
Come on.
Do I go?
Is Day not in the top three?
No.
Okay. Is he even in your top 10?
Yeah, he's in the top 10. I'll give him that.
Wow. 55-8.
I want it. You know what? Just to prove it in a weird way.
He's coached in the national championship game, has he not?
Yes.
Twice?
It wasn't his fault. His fault that they were decimated. I didn't blame them at all for losing to that Alabama team.
But he's barely
with
top 10.
A decimated 10. Roster.
Back end top 10.
I would love to see him at another school. Not just to get rid of him. I'd love to see. I kind of want to know how we do. I want to see if I'm right or wrong on this.
It's tough for me to make an argument because these other guys have proven.
I'd like to see him at Penn State. Go to Penn State. You're going to get talent. You're not going to get Ohio State talent.
Smart's proven himself because he doesn't have the same resources, but he's won the national championships because Smart has the same background.
Yeah.
Smart has the same background. DeBoer, I gave you his history. Dabo, I mean, he took over an organization and then fired his assistant coach who was his buddy, fired him, moved on.
Here's an even better one.
Norvell, I just got done singing his praises. Whittingham, how many different conferences? How much level of the competition have they stepped it up? They're recruiting everything. I can't say very much for Day other than, well, they beat Purdue a bunch of times.
Here's an even better one. What would, like, not Nick Saban now, he's in his 70s.
It's crazy.
What would Nick Saban do at, like, Kent State or Akron? But it's impossible because you're thinking, all right, Nick Saban now, if he went to one of those schools, what kind of recruiting class would he get?
NIL?
Yes. Are guys flocking all of a sudden to Akron and Kent State?
No, that's why a lot of these guys, we're seeing a difference now. Like, Sean Lewis... It just sucked that he ended up coaching for Deion. Oh, I know. I saw that quote. Sorry. He ended up coaching for Deion. Deion threw him under the bus. And I love Deion, but it's true. Yeah. You know, Sean Lewis, there is all of a sudden you find yourself stuck in the MAC. You find yourself stuck. You're at Kent State. And, like, who was the guy who went from Kent State to Purdue?
Daryl Hazel.
You can go from, like, Northern Illinois to mid-level. Well, now it's like, is it enough to get to the mid-level job? Because he went to Colorado State, and the thinking, and his, by the way, his points per game were right there. Like, his points per game, your thinking is, if you do a really good job at Colorado, if they were a bowl eligible, and they got close, they let the one against Arizona get away from him. And I think he was already gone by then.
Yeah.
But say you get that team to bowl eligible, like I thought, I go, this is his stepping stone to a top college job, to a top head coaching job. But because it just... disintegrated with Deion, then he has to end up going to San Diego State, which San Diego State is a great recruiting ground. I think they got a new stadium. I think they do have a little bit of NIL. They're in a conference where you can go and you can win. I think it's higher G5 in the Mountain West Conference. I mean, there's some good programs there. I think you can go, you can win. And if he turns in like a 10-2 season at San Diego State, I think that a lot of these places that might be looking for coaches here, you have to consider this man. You have to consider him. If they blow out, like if they turn in a 9 or a 10 win season this year, I'm not sure where San Diego State's going to be. I have no idea where they're at with their personnel. I'll be honest with you. Like if you're looking to make a replacement of Florida, you got to discuss them. If you're looking to make a replacement at Arkansas, you got to discuss them. Are these big enough jobs of what you would want to leave San Diego State for? I'm not sure. So Ryan Day not in the top three.
And the Browns ranked 22nd.
That's that FanDuel thing. Come on. That's silly.
That is pretty ridiculous.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.